I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. And what great things we have from him, in him, with him, by him, and all things redound to his honor and to his glory. There are, as Brother Lindsay said, a number of our people that are sick. Brother Weaver's doing much better. He will not be here this morning, not for the class at any rate, but he will be back next Sunday, and you won't have to listen to me next Sunday again. He'll be back on the regular schedule of the planned lessons, but I'm a maverick, so I stepped aside from the planned sessions for several reasons, but he'll be back next Sunday, the Lord willing. You know about Nancy Hawkins' funeral. That'll be tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And in the meantime, many of you know Brother Boyd. He passed away as well yesterday, I believe it was, wasn't it? I don't know. We don't have any funeral arrangements for him. But he and his wife have been members of the church only a short while. And wonderful people, very faithful. And he passed away from cancer on Saturday. But you can be listening. Maybe the pastor has some more information in the morning worship service. But pray for those that are sick. So often we take for granted when people are sick, they're just sick. I remember what one of the missionaries from Mexico said years ago. When people in Mexico get sick, they either get well or they die. Well, that's kind of the way it is anywhere, isn't it? But anyway, I hope you'll pray for those, and you have a prayer list from Wednesday night off the internet. So I hope you'll pray for these that are grieving and those that are sick, those that have special needs. We do not want to forget them. And as Brother George said about Veterans Day, we certainly want to honor and recognize our veterans. We are greatly indebted to them, folks. Just think about it. Where would we be as a nation today if we didn't have men who went forth and women to war to protect us, to fight for our freedom? So let's not forget them. Well, open your Bible for our Sunday. By the way, did I tell you? When we open the Bible opens the mind of God. I want to see what God's thinking about this morning, and I trust that you do. In the book of 2 Peter, Chapter number 1. Peter, remember, was one of the three of the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. Peter was the spokesman for the 12. Sometimes he put his foot in his mouth, but he spoke anyway. I think Peter redeemed himself when Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." When you look through the four gospel accounts and you find list of the 12, Peter is always listed first. Judas Iscariot is always listed last. So Peter, the spokesman, one of the three of the inner circle, present with Jesus in the garden, in the raising of Lazarus, other special places, that these three men, Peter, James, and John, were present with our Lord. We know it was Andrew who brought his brother Peter to Jesus. Now, we don't hear much about Andrew after he brings his brother Peter to Jesus. He's a silent one after that. But never forget this. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were saved and added to the church. They go right along together. People tell me, well, I'm saved, but I don't think I have to belong to the church. Well, that's anti-scriptural. Anybody thinking that is wrong. We need to belong to the church. If we're saved, belong to Christ, we need to be a part of his body. And his body is a local assembly of baptized believers in the Lord Jesus. And think about this. I'm convinced that Andrew will share in all the rewards that Peter receives when he gets to heaven, because he's the one that brought Peter and introduced him to the Messiah. Don't ever forget, perhaps some of you have come through times of teaching little children, and you've won some of them in the Sunday school to the Lord. And who knows, sometime, somewhere, how God will use that little boy or that little girl when you thought there wasn't much hope for them. You thought, well, it's just another snotty-nosed kid. But you know, Jesus knows how to wipe snotty noses. He knows how to pick up the little ones. Suffer the little ones to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. Don't ever look lightly upon any. My daddy used to say when a child got saved, it was not only a soul saved, but it was a life saved. And that means a whole lot, to know that we can bring little children as well as adults to Christ and bring them to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 4, as you have your Bible open to that place, and I'll read it after we whisper a moment of prayer. Father, we are grateful today for your blessed and precious and holy word. We believe it to be God-breathed, inspired, every word, every letter, every syllable, every verse, every line, every chapter. So we know that when we open the Bible, we're opening your mind to see what you're thinking about. Help us to understand what you have in your word for us in this moment, in this hour. And may the Lord Jesus be honored above all others. In his name I ask it with thanksgiving. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Push the pause button right there for a second. The same Simon Peter that cursed and swore that he never knew Jesus. It's amazing what God can do, isn't it? He is now called a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace, by the way, as you go through the epistles of Peter, the two epistles and all of the epistles of the Apostle Paul, whenever Paul mentions grace or harmony or love or whatever, he always begins with the word grace. You see, without grace, there's no peace. It's all by the grace of God, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. As I said many times before, people try to work their way to heaven. It will not work. You can work and work and work until you work your fingers to the bones, and all you'll have is bony fingers. That's all. Salvation comes by grace. Grace and peace be multiplied, I like that, unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, it may be that this very day means that you need to be assured of some promise of God. Listen again to what Peter wrote in verse 4, exceeding great, not just great, but exceeding great and precious promises. We're told in the Word of God that not one promise that God ever made was ever broken. Not one good thing that he ever did or promised he would do for his people has ever been broken. That's written in Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. You might want to make a note of that if you're accustomed to making notes. Joshua 23 and verse 14. Listen carefully. Not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All, not some, not many, not a great majority, but all are come to pass unto you. And he repeats it, and not one thing has failed thereof. That's just like God, isn't it? Promises made and promises kept. The Lord is good all the time. We can't find a time or a place or a circumstance in our lives where God is not good. He's always good. Someone has observed that there are thousands. I've read estimates from 3,000 to 30,000. I've never counted them. Promises in the Bible. But I'm sure that today you can find a promise and every day of your life. There are promises in the Bible for you. I have made it a habit for many years in my morning devotions to just tell God, I'm claiming every promise that you have for me written in the Bible today. And by the way, I believe that ever how many promises there are, they're written for us individually and personally. You see, God deals with individuals, with people. God doesn't bless machines and mechanics and movements. He blesses people. So we can claim every promise that's written in the Bible for us every day. And by the way, the promises are not going to just jump off the page at you. You know, when the old gold miners went to California in the California gold rush, they took tools with them, picks, to dig. They knew that that gold wasn't going to just come to the surface and say, hello, here I am, pick me up. No, no, no. And the promises in the Word of God are not going to do that. If we discover and enjoy and apply and appreciate and claim the promises of God, we are going to have to dig for them. There are many nuggets of gold in the Bible. We need to learn to dig for them. The little chorus says, every promise in the book is mine. Every verse, every chapter, every line, every promise in the book is mine. Now here's something you need to remember. A bell is not a bell until it rings. A song is not a song until it's sung. And a promise is never a promise until it's claimed. When did you last just say, I'm going to claim this promise today? This is my promise for the day, right out of God's Word. Now, Peter reminds us that God has for us exceeding great and precious promises right out of the storehouse of his blessings. Promises, 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 and more promises. They are yours if And this is a big if you claim them, if you believe them. Now, the lesson is entitled, Standing on the Promises. We sing that once in a while, don't we, Brother Lindsay? Standing on the promises of God. I'm glad we have secure, safe, steadfast promises upon which we can stand. I would have you to observe with me in the lesson, first of all, that we're standing on the promise of consistent companionship. There's no reason why you should ever feel alone. Now, you may not have family or friends right at your side all the time. Remember what the psalmist said, I looked on my right hand and there was nobody there to help me. I looked on my left hand, nobody, but God. God's always there. Let me give you the promise that Jesus made. It's written in Hebrews chapter 13 in verse number 5. You already know it. And by the way, in that out of that verse, the Apostle Paul quotes Jesus. He loved to quote Jesus too. I love to quote Jesus. Let me read it for you. Listen carefully. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation, and that word simply means your lifestyle, the way you live, the way you think, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you reason, the way you react, the way you act. Let your lifestyle, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Let me say this, folks. If we are not content with what we have, we wouldn't be content if we got what we thought we needed to have. And a lot of the things that we think we have to have, we really don't have to have. It's amazing how many things we could just strike off of our list that we think that we have to have. Be content with such things as you have. For he, that is Jesus, he hath said, now here's where Paul quotes Jesus, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is not a promise of the Apostle Paul. He's quoting Jesus. For he hath said, that is Jesus, hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In good times and bad times, in sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth, in life and in death, in time and for eternity, Jesus will never leave us. The songwriter put it this way, no, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Now, here's a verse you need to mark to have it ready for your research at any moment. Psalm 48 and verse 14. I love it. Listen to what it says. This God, now push the pause button right there after God. This God, the God of creation, the God of the covenants, the God of the consummation of all things, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of salvation, life, holiness, happiness, peace, the God of the Bible. Now I go on to read it. This God is our God for a while. No, and that's not what it says. This God is our God forever and forever. I love that. Ever and ever. He will be our God, our guide. He will be our guide even unto death. Isn't that amazing? God's not going to drop us on the edge of the grave. He's going to go with us all the way. He's our God even unto death. And when we come down to die, we can say with the psalmist, yea, though I walk Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Some of you will remember Brother Jimmy Huffman. Brother Huffman lived to be 100, I believe, or maybe 101. He was a deacon in our church for a number of years. When he was in the hospital on his deathbed, I went to visit him. His daughter was standing by the bed. We conversed for a moment or two. You know, the last thing to go is the hearing. We understand that. So at the last moment, I bent over closely to the ear of a man that I dearly loved and hated to give up. And I quoted the 23rd Psalm right in his ear. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. 101 years old, all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Quite frankly, I was overcome with emotion. I quietly stole out of the room, got on the elevator, went to the parking lot, drove home, and the telephone was ringing. When I opened the door, it was Brother Huffman's daughter. She said, "Oh, Brother Barber, when you were quoting the 23rd Psalm and you got down to that part that said, 'Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,' she said, 'Daddy entered that valley and he crossed through it and went on to be with the Lord.' Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. I will never leave thee, remember, nor forsake thee." What a wonderful Savior. That brings me to promise number two. We're not only standing on those precious promises of companionship, we stand on the promise of answered prayer. Prayer makes the darkest cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw, gives exercise to faith and love, brings every blessing from above. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. I like Jeremiah 33 in verse 3. "Call unto me." This is God speaking. He's speaking to you and to me. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, what God has in his storehouse that he wants to show us if we'll just call upon him. That's what he said. Do you believe what God said? "Call unto me, I will answer, I'll show you great and mighty things." Do you mind if I quote Jesus again? Matthew 18 and verse 19, you're familiar with it. Jesus said, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as anything, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven." That's what Jesus said. Further, I quote Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 at verse 7. "Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to those that ask him? You got to ask. Remember, God said in Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me. Jesus said, ask. By the way, have you ever wondered how many words there are in our New Testament? There are 181,253 words in our New Testament. Did you know that 36,450 of them were spoken by Jesus? That's roughly 20% of all of the New Testament words that Jesus spoke. Mark 11, verse 25 and verse 26. What things soever, watch it now, ye desire when ye pray, believe. Underscore that word believe. When ye pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. John 14:13. I'm quoting Jesus again. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And verse 14 of that same 14th chapter, John 14 and verse 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Matthew 21, verse 22. I'm still quoting Jesus. I can't run out of words. I can't quote 36,450 words here this morning, but I'm still quoting Jesus. He said in Matthew 21 and verse 22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask, now watch this, in prayer, believing. Remember, I ask you to underscore the word believe. Up there in John 11, 20, Mark 11, 25 and 26. Jesus says, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing. That's the key. Believing. Ye shall receive. Now folks, listen. You can pray, believe, and receive. Or you can pray, doubt, and do without. It's altogether up to you. I ask you again to underscore that word believe or believing. Well, there are other people that I love to quote. James in chapter 4 at verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. Did you get that? You have not because you ask not. You ask and believe not that you may consume it upon your own lusts. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24. I mentioned this to you, I think, last week. I'm not going to ask you if you remember it, but I'm pretty sure I did, and here's the way it goes. And it shall come to pass, before they ask, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isn't that amazing? That's what God said. So I quote God, I quote Jesus, I quote James. I just love to quote the Bible. That brings me to promise number 3. We're standing on the promise of adequate strength. Adequate strength. Let me say this. We will never know how strong God is until we realize how weak we are. Let me repeat that. We will never, never know how strong God is until we realize how weak we are. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25. This verse is hidden away over there in one of the books of Moses. Remember, he wrote the first five books, and here's what he said. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Now, that was a very strange statement, because you know what they were wearing? Sandals. All through the wilderness, the children of Israel just wearing sandals. But by the way, they never wore out. That's an amazing thing. You know, we wear holes in our shoes. Brother Lindsay, you can probably remember this. When I was growing up, we had shoes. We'd wear a hole in the sole, and Daddy would go to the dime store and get some of this glue. And he'd strike a match, put the glue on the sole, and strike a match and slap that half sole on it. We call it the half sole. By the way, I'm glad you got a whole sole. Put the half sole on it, and after about the third time walking in the rain, it was flapping like this. It's flap, 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 flap. Then we'd reinforce it with cardboard. Anybody ever do that? No. You all were rich. You had the finest of shoes. But there were nine of us, and we had to just wear what we could. We put cardboard in there and reinforced that flap, and the cardboard got wet. And you talk about a mess. When the cardboard got wet, it was all over. Well, let's get back to serious business now. Let me tell you this, my friend. Don't ever forget it. God will never assign you a task that what he gives you the strength to complete it. Nothing. God will never ask you to do anything without giving you the strength to complete it. I like Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. I like Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord shall be thy strength. And Isaiah 40 and verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What wonderful promises God has made for us in his marvelous, wonderful word. I think we have time, perhaps one more promise. I have a lot of them, but we're standing on the promise, and this is number four if you're counting. We're standing on the promise of sufficient grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7, please listen to what Paul said. And lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh. Unless I am exalting myself above measure, thinking more of myself than I ought to think, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And then he enlarges upon that in the next sentence. The messenger of Satan. You know, Satan is alive and doing well. Always has been. By the way, he has not changed his tactics. From the first lie he told in the garden to Eve when he said to her, when God said, eat this fruit and you shall surely die. And Satan said, Eve, you won't surely die. He's been telling lies ever since. He hadn't changed his tactic. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now that word buffet is an interesting word. It's one thing in our English language actually, but it's another thing in the original, and I don't know the original. The reason I don't give you the original is two reasons. Number one, I don't know what it is. And number two, if I did, you wouldn't understand it. So I'm just going to tell you what it means. It means to give one a black eye. Beat them up in the face until their eyes are black. And Paul is saying, the messenger of Satan beat me up in my face, gave me black eyes so that I would not think of myself above what I ought to think, above the measure. For this thing, he goes on to say, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Isn't that great? You've got the messenger of Satan. You've been beat up. Your face is all bruised. Your eyes are black. But my grace is sufficient for thee. Grace while I'm living, and grace when I'm dying. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for the courts above. John Newton, reprobate, slave trader, drunkard, wrote those wonderful words that we sing, amazing grace. The best thing about grace is it's amazing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, and now I see. What great, exceeding great, and precious promises that God has made to us. I'm going to challenge you to claim a promise before this day's up, somewhere in the scripture. Just find a promise that's made and claim it. Lord, this is my promise for today. And then repeat it tomorrow, another one, and another one. And you'll never exhaust the promises of God. I promise you, you will never exhaust the promises of God. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful again for your love and mercy and kindness, for your grace, for all of these wonderful promises that we have that we can stand upon, we can believe, we can claim. We can claim every promise in the book, believing that what you promise, you will do, and not one thing will ever fail. We thank you for it. Bless now the service to follow. I pray that you'll anoint our pastor for the words that you want him to preach to us today. I know his heart is open to you. His mind is set steadfast on the book. Never compromising, never watering down the word, but preaching it as it is to us as we are. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.